These were some of the developments today in an effort to prevent war in Eastern Europe. The National Security Council briefed President Joe Biden this morning at the White House as Vice President Kamala Harris returned from the security conference in Munich, where she expressed Western support for Ukraine and issued a strong warning to Russia. French President Emmanuel Macron held direct talks this morning with Russian President Vladimir Putin. Meanwhile, on CNN this morning, U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken described a Russian invasion of Ukraine as imminent, although he expressed the hope that international efforts can still make a difference.
We believe President Putin has made the decision, but until the tanks are actually rolling and the planes are flying, we will use every opportunity and every minute we have to see if diplomacy can still dissuade President Putin from carrying this forward.
With all this taking place, we thought this would be a good time to hear more about one of the men at the center of it all, Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky. It's hard to remember that just a few short years ago, he was best known as an actor, comedian, and entertainment executive. But now he stands at the head of his country's efforts to preserve its young democracy as 100,000 Russian troops amass at his border. To learn more about him, we called The New Yorker's Joshua Yaffa once again. He is the Moscow correspondent for The New Yorker and the author of Between Two Fires, Truth, Ambition, and Compromise in Putin's Russia. And he is with us now. Joshua Yaffa, thanks so much for joining us once again.
Pleasure to be with you.
So let me just go back to President Zelensky's identity as an actor and comedian. I think people might remember that he was the star of this show, The Servant of the People. He was played a teacher. His denunciations of the government kind of went viral, and he's sort of born to the presidency by the voters because of that. And it kind of makes him seem like kind of a naif, but I think you're telling us that that's not really true.
No, Zelensky, at least in the world of entertainment, is a rather sophisticated figure with a lot of experience. A separate question we can talk about is, you know, what that means for his political skills, but he certainly was an undeniable real force in the Ukrainian entertainment scene, not just as an actor and a comic and really the popular face of his troupe called Kvartal 95, but as the CEO effectively of that production company. So he wasn't just an actor, but really a kind of impresario in a kind of throwback Hollywood sense.
So how did he become president? How did that happen?
Well, really unexpectedly. Essentially, he was the beneficiary of disillusionment and frustration that had built up in Ukraine by 2019 as a result both of the war in Donbass, which remained unsettled, also the unchecked role of the oligarchs. Again, it was clear the Ukrainian people were desperate for an alternative, any alternative. And Zelensky showed up on the political scene and benefited from his lack of experience, frankly. And it didn't hurt that he was fresh off of phenomenal success from his latest production, a television show called Servant of the People, in which Zelensky played an outsider turned president. So it really was a case of life imitating art.
So talk a little bit, if you would, about what he faced early on in his presidency. I think that Americans would be most familiar with what happened in the Donbass region, where the Russian-backed separatists took up arms against the government in East Ukraine. And was that his major challenge? And how did he respond to it?
Well, I think that his first challenge was this coming to terms with the fact that being president of a real-life country with all of the challenges that entails is, of course, different than being the president on a television show of your own creation. So his presidency was marked by a certain messiness and difficulty that I'm sure Zelensky and his associates quite understood. All of the kind of trickiness and complexity that goes into actually running a country. And that might mean, for example, facing an American president, Donald Trump, who's making an offer of a quid pro quo. If Ukraine cooperates on a political investigation, the United States will give necessary military aid. It was turned out to be much more difficult, or maybe, in fact, Zelensky didn't have all the will required to undo the country's system of oligarchs, corruption, favor trading. And of course, the war in Donbass and eastern Ukraine remains very much alive as it's ever been, in fact. And it's proven difficult, if not impossible, for him to square the circle between Putin, the West, domestic factions inside Ukraine. And of course, a big reason why Zelensky has not been able to end this war is Vladimir Putin.
Let's talk about his relationship with the United States. I mean, obviously, that phone call, that infamous phone call with President Donald Trump, the former president, was a very traumatic event for the United States. What about in Ukraine? I mean, how would you describe the impact of that event there?
I think that you can see in his actions today in this conflict, he's really taken issue with some of the statements that have come out of Washington about the urgency or imminence of Russian invasion. That word imminent was one that became a real hot button issue here in Ukraine. And Zelensky didn't seem to like the idea that the West was forecasting a war that was all but inevitable. But that was an issue where he clearly was somewhat at odds with the White House and the United States.
I'm glad you mentioned that, because that's one of the things that I think has been puzzling to a lot of people watching this from the United States, is why would he keep disagreeing, or why would he keep taking issue with the argument that an attack is imminent, or at least in the realm of possibility, since you've got all these troops arrayed on his own border. So I think people have been puzzled by that.
On the one hand, he has a lot of different issues to worry about here. Yes, of course, first and foremost, the prospects of a Russian invasion. But in the meantime, he's watching foreign embassies flee Kiev, expat workers, investors flee the country. The notion at this point of new foreign investment, I think, is all but frozen, realistically. Also not wanting to see panic in the country, a bank run, the collapse of the currency. So he's trying to manage all of those other issues even before we get to the idea of a Russian invasion. So I think that certainly is complicating and driving his calculus. But also, of course, he's looking at the United States, which has said quite resolutely, Biden has repeated many times, there will be no U.S. troops coming to save Ukraine, and understands in that sense that Ukraine really is on its own.
That's Joshua Yaffa. He is a Moscow correspondent for The New Yorker and the author of Between Two Fires, Truth, Ambition, and Compromise in Putin's Russia. And we're talking about him. He's been following, of course, the career of the Ukrainian president, Volodymyr Zelensky, and he's telling us about that. Joshua Yaffa, thanks so much for talking with us once again.
My pleasure.